All right. Hello, everyone. My name is Jasmine Habersham, and I am joined with the Atlanta Company Players, but particularly the African-American Black Company Players. I have with me Reggie Smith, Morris Robinson, Calvin Griffin, and Josh Conyers. So again, I want this to be like a cool, fun, you know, like kiki. It's going to be cool and relaxed. So I have my first question, which is, what are or who are one of the famous Black singers that have inspired you throughout the years? And also, this can be like a Black artist, like a rapper. This can be anybody, a jazz singer, you name it. So I would like to start with Morris.
Black singer or artist that has inspired me throughout the years?
Yeah.
Prince.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's a great one. That is a great one.
So when I was in high school, we watched Amadeus while we were doing the Mozart Requiem my junior year. And the way they portrayed him in that movie, he was so avant-garde and so pushing the envelope and so on some other stuff and kind of silly. He reminded me of Prince, like his ingenuity, his the way he treated music, the way he went on the edge and did things differently. So I was, you know, and I've always loved Prince, and I just thought that he was like the best musician ever. And so he inspired me to pursue my musical dreams, and I ended up doing classical music as a result of such. It's true though.
That's awesome. Like, that's really cool. I can honestly say for me, like, someone who's inspired me has been like Audra McDonald.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And of course, that's how, like, once I got introduced to her, that's when Jesse Norman and Kathleen Battle, I kind of found out about all the other Black singers in the mix. So
you told me I can go anywhere. Now you talk about all the greats in opera. I feel like,
oh, no, you so can. Priceless. Well, no, there's Audra and then also Sarah Vaughan. I love Sarah Vaughan.
Don't be branching out because I went there.
So the next person I'd like to ask that question, Calvin.
Yeah, I'd have to say Simon Estes. I just, back when I was first starting, just listening to different CDs, and I was always drawn to his voice. I thought it was amazing. And I don't know, that kind of helped bring me into the fold a little bit. But I mean, that'd be my classical singer. I also really enjoy Michael Jackson for the good and the bad, but I mean, he's Michael Jackson, and I mean, I don't know how you can not like his music. Is pretty amazing. So that's what I got.
So this might be a tangent question that I'm going to open up.
Let's go for it.
Might be hard. Michael Jackson or Prince? Who do you think was a better artist? And I know this is a tough question because I think they're artists in their own right, but I'm going to personally have to go with Michael Jackson.
I'd have to do that too. But I do not.
Wait.
Morris does not agree.
Okay. And mind you, I grew up with the Michael Jackson when, like, Remember the Time. Like, that was my first image of Michael Jackson. Even though I think Thriller is one of the greatest albums of all time. Morris, you probably have a longer history with knowing Prince, like, from the beginning versus like Prince.
Wow.
So I mean,
yeah, we grew up together. We were the same. So here's my assessment. And I've had to deal with this internally because I love them both. I think Prince was the better musician all the way around. Okay. But Michael was the better entertainer.
Okay, fair. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. As far as artistry goes, Mike, although when he did that beatbox on Oprah, when he did that whole thing by himself, I was like, yo, dude, it's dope. But Prince played like every instrument. On his first two albums, he played every instrument and did all the vocals. Mike couldn't do that.
Yeah.
Dude wrote all his music right off the dome. He was nice. Guitar, drums, bass, everything. So you got to give him the edge on that. But when it came down to entertaining and dancing, Mike was the king. Yeah, definitely. So
okay. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. So I think we've settled that. Does everybody agree? So I wanted to ask Josh the question, I'll state it again. What Black singer or artist has inspired you throughout the years?
Well, I mean, I started singing in the first place because of Boyz II Men. The first thing I ever, you know, sang on stage was I Make Love to You when I was six, you know, in an audience, right? I know, right? That's crazy, right?
I love this story.
I had no idea what I was talking about, sex and all that. You know, and that was my like first taste of like being on stage and singing. And so I always like wanted to be in a boy band. So like I had a little boy band. We were called Boys in Harmony. It was crazy. Yeah, but
I love hearing that about you.
Yeah, gotta give it up to Boyz II Men. I was huge, like all the boy bands, 90s. That was it. I mean, any of them. Yeah.
So like B2K, NSYNC.
Oh, I mean, everything. NSYNC, Backstreet, all of them. I mean, you know what I'm saying? 112, you know what I'm saying? Jagged Edge, all of it. I was like,
I'm too old to be on this call, clearly.
Yeah. But okay, so for Morris, it would be like New Edition.
New Edition.
Well, yeah, I'm the same age as New Edition.
Guy,
you know, the baddest group, however, it was also out of Minneapolis, like Prince, and that's it's Forever in Your Eyes. Y'all know who that is? I can't think of the name right now.
Yeah.
Mint Condition.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They was dope. But yeah. Guy, yeah, you know. So, but y'all talking about Backstreet Boys. I can't name one Backstreet Boys.
I was a huge NSYNC fan, so they were.
Yeah, so was I.
Okay.
Bye. I knew that much.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Reggie, the last person we need to ask this question, who has inspired you as a Black artist?
I'm withholding my judgment on who's better between NSYNC and Backstreet Boys.
We can have that debate.
that's a different Zoom call. You know, I grew up with gospel music, but it got to a certain time at night and my mother would switch over from the gospel station to the R&B soul. And then I would hear a voice like, let me hold you tight, yes. If only for a night. Yes. And I was always mesmerized with Luther Vandross. The other thing about Luther is he would stand in the middle of the stage with a microphone and would just sing, and people would be so moved. And he would give you different colors and dynamics. And I always tell people that's how I learned how to do coloratura. Because, I mean, look at it, you know?
Fat Luther or skinny Luther?
Oh.
All of the way you talk, and I take you out
tonight. Who's different,
Jerry Curl Luther? All of
that one. That's the one.
But in terms of classical music, I will say that one of the biggest inspirations was the first Black baritone I ever heard live, which was Donny Ray Albert, and it was at the Atlanta Opera's production of Tosca. It was my very first opera. And I thought, well, okay, get out of school, fine. And I go, and there's this Black man, and there's this, sorry about that. There's this Black man on stage. And I was like, who is this? And I was so mesmerized. I bought his CD, like in recital, which had just come out recently, which I still have on my phone. I looked up everything about Donny Ray. And I mean, it was really a big gateway for me into opera. Even now, he's like, you can call me Donny Ray. And I'm like, Mr. Albert, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I still have so much respect for him and his career and the doors that he's opened for people like myself. And so he's always been a big inspiration. But Luther is always there too.
Yes. And I love, first of all, there's two different things I want to point on. I love the fact that you're at the Atlanta Opera now and you're singing all over the world and all of us are doing these great things and we were inspired by people of color that, you know, just because we saw it and we believed it and now we're in these spaces. So that's inspiring to hear. And also, might I add, as far as a pop singer who I am like, she's the greatest, is Whitney Houston. We must also pay homage. Hey. I still don't even know what other singer has come close to her. And I'm not really even looking for that, but it's, yeah, it's great to have these different comparisons of like, we know what good singing is, right? And I think across all genres, you can always recognize that. So anyway, let's go to my second question. So the Atlanta Opera, I believe, has been doing a great job with diversifying. They've got us here. Actually, it's like 5 Black people in the company players, which I think is really amazing. What are some other ways that you think that Atlanta Opera can diversify, and also other people in the industry can diversify, not only their companies, but their audiences? I will start with Josh.
Sure. So first, I think it starts from your administration. If you want different ideas, they have to come from different places, different sources, come from people with different backgrounds. So it has to start there to get that, the thought provoking started, because if you get, you know, those different thoughts, you start to come up with different things. And once you do that, you start community engagement. Atlanta is so rich and diverse. So like, you need to start pulling in donors who are of color, getting them interested, all of the you know, there are a lot of, you know, middle class Black people in Atlanta, in that area, and just also just outreach, and then putting Black people on stage so that people can, so like all of us, you know, we can see somebody and go, wow, oh, I can do that too. So representation matters so much across the whole board, right? You have to think about the whole system, the whole cog of any opera company. It has to be diverse. It has to be Black if you want to really bring about change.
Oh, that's beautiful. Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the more diversity that the people see on the stage, the more diversity you're going to find in the audience. I think people are, you know, they're drawn to, oh, I see people like me doing this. Man, I should come see this as well. And I feel like we could, I don't know, but to do some more outreach, diversify our outreach as well. I mean, it's what Josh said, but I completely agree. In order to get something to change, you got to change from the beginning as well. So that's what I think.
Awesome. Morris?
Yeah, these guys are hitting right on the head. I always say that diversifying your offering on stage, as Calvin said, attracts a diversified audience, but you have to market it, right? You can't just put it there and say, well, we put, you know, it needs to be marketed that way. The outreach needs to be targeted. You know, we can make stars out of anybody we want to if we market it correctly. And if you want to diversify your audience base, you're gonna have to put a diversified product on stage, period. But you gotta market that product. The other thing you have to do is also start diversifying the internal workings of your organization, such that we have people that have our best interests at heart advocating for us from the inside out. You know, as it stands, there's hardly that happening, unless it's out of the goodness of the heart of the people that are there. There's nobody that looks like us that works in any of the opera houses in the whole country that makes decisions on casting or repertoire. So, you know, this is a systematic thing that needs to be tamed from the inside out. And that happens over time. To create sustainable change, you need relationship building. You need to change the mindset of an industry, of a people, of a marketplace. So we have to do that. Third thing I like to say is opera can be very intimidating for people that aren't used to being there. So when you do get people in the audience that don't match your normal profile of your normal profile of audience, you have to embrace them. You need to train your current audience based on how to embrace new people, so that you can, you know, in one of the companies that I talk to all the time, we talk about training our audience to accept diversity in the audience, because you can't give people a hard time if they dress differently. You can't make them feel ostracized if they wear khakis and a polo to the opera. You know, Mozart said opera is for everybody. It's not just for the aristocracy. So we have to embrace that, because, you know, especially in Atlanta, the money comes from everywhere and it looks all different kinds of ways. And, you know, far be it the days when you used to walk into Saks Fifth Avenue and you had to carry a certain type of bag before security, to keep security from following you. You know, Black folks have money and they spend it. And, you know, we love to dress up. We love to dress casual, just like white folks. And we should not be looked at differently because we're there with whatever we want to bring to where to the office. We should just be having people there to see. So it's going to take a mindset change all the way through. But I think you guys are all in the right point when it comes to marketing and training. So, yeah.
And I agree, especially with your fourth point. I think making opera accessible and making it feel like this is something, not that it can be hoity-toity, but it can be whatever you want. You know, and I think even putting in spaces beyond the opera house that really make it authentic and to that culture and to that community. So I agree with all your points. I think those are wonderful. Reggie?
Of course. I mean, everybody is hitting the, you know, the nail right on the head or the head right on the nail. Anyway, the point is, one of the things that you have to remember is that if you're going to make a change in a company, it has to be a part of the core values of the company. It's the same thing if you're dealing with a school or a school system. You can't just say, we want our school to be the best at math, but then you don't put any money into the math program and you don't train your math teachers, you don't give your kids extra math resources, et cetera. So if I say my company will be committed to diversity and equity and inclusion of all people, then every single thing and every company will have to have that lens as they're marketing, as they're casting, as they're doing community outreach, as they're doing development, whether it's the board. I want everybody and everything a part of that company to have that core value and have that lens. And then it's not a matter of, am I casting a diverse group of people? Am I casting quality people that fit and match our core value? Are we doing outreach to all people, whether it's an assisted living facility or whether it's an elementary school or whether it's a high school or whether it's a historical Black college or whether it's an affluent private college? We need to have a complete diversity and investment, but that takes time, it takes money, it takes know-how. And, you know, the biggest thing is we can say one thing, but we have to put our resources and our efforts behind what we say. And that only happens when it rings true to who you are as a person and to your core. So I think for these companies, much like what they're doing in Atlanta, it's not let me try to strategically cast for Black people. It's let me cast some people that are really great for this show. Oh, and they happen to be Black, which is great because it also matches our community, you know? So I think that's where we really have to change the internal thinking of the company and of our board members. And that takes time. But if you change that, then the lens from which people see things and the lens from which people conduct their work will be different. And that then will have an effect all the way around the theater and the business. My thought, anyway.
I think that is an amazing answer. And especially, you know, you saying that, like, being qualified with a part, but also a person who happens to be Black, you know, I think that's really important in, like, you're fulfilling all of the goals. And also reaching out to the community again in a way that says, hey, we're here to build a community of opera and expose you to it as well. I love all these points. I really feel like you guys could be amazing, like, company administrators.
I'll make one point. We did a production of Mayor to Figaro once where the director, you know, and he was also the director of the company, decided that he really wanted to mix everybody up and kind of have this sort of, you know, representation of everybody. And so it was, let's have this person and let's have that person, let's have that person. And what happened was exactly what everyone was saying. We got to the audience it was completely sold out. And there were people that were Asian, that were Black, that were Hispanic, that were white, that were young, that were old, and everyone loved it. And people came back. And I was like, you know, that's what we have to get to the point to where we let everyone know that this is not just for an elite or for a certain race or for a certain culture, but it's for everyone from any background, that these stories are so universal that they can touch the heart of every person. And so I think the more we can get to that, the better we'll be. Also, just as a nation and as a world.
Yes, I completely. I love that. I love all of it. So my next question. So I know we love being Black and being Black opera singers, but what are some of the things you love? And also, what are the things that get on your nerves? Which I'm sure we have a list of them. I can start with myself. I think, first of all, I love the Black voice. I love that it's not only can it have a brightness to it, but it also have this like beautiful richness, and we come in so many different shades and colors, and it's very versatile, in my opinion, what we can do, especially from the culture of music that we come from. But some things that get on my nerves, I do think always being compared and kind of put in a box of like, oh, you'll only do this kind of rep because we need this other person to fill this slot for this position. I feel like that happens a lot. So I want to start with Josh again and tell me again, what are some of the things that you love, and also want to think some of the things you get on your nerves?
Some of the things I love just about like just Black singers in general, if I just want to just make it specific, is the swagger that we have on stage. You know, like it's something about us. I mean, a lot of times we're there alone, and like a lot of times we feel like we have to like represent. So when every time I see a Black person perform, I feel like it's always taken up a notch. It's always like this breath of excellence, this air of like wonderfulness and beauty that I feel every time like I see any Black person just get up there, especially on an opera stage and perform. It gives me like, oh my gosh, like this person is just elevates this show and just gives so much to the show. I love it. Every time I watch a Black person or I'm around Black opera singers, I just love the energy. The energy is always amazing.
Yes.
The one thing that I hate personally is when I want to say 9 times out of 10, if I'm doing a concert or an opera, some audience member or donor, predominantly white, always comes up to me and says, do you sing Old Man River? That would be amazing in your voice.
Yes.
And I'm just like, at first I was just like, oh no, I don't sing it. But now I just go, no, I don't.
Yeah, that's one of those things that we get kind of bombarded with all the time, where it's like, of course we can sing that. You know, we can also do other things as well. Yeah. Next, Calvin.
Yeah, so something that I love, just in all opera singers, there's a sense of community, but even more so with Black opera singers, I mean, you have that extra layer of community. And especially, I mean, if you happen to do a show where there are just a lot of Black singers in it, you just kind of feel like you have a little family, which is really nice, especially with this career. You kind of feel lonely at times. And then one thing that's a little annoying is if there happen to be either, you know, two Black men or two Black women in a show, a lot of times the donors they'll just absolutely get you mixed up. Just,
oh my God, yes.
Completely. Oh my God. And utterly, yes. Like I could be, you know, tall and a little lighter skin. Another guy could be like a stockier guy, same person.
Yeah, that happened to me. I'm not gonna say the place, but do you guys know Jackie Eccles?
Oh yeah.
She was singing the role and I was covering her, and I was clearly in the audience watching. And so once the intermission came and we were all outside, this man came up to me. He was like, oh, you sound so wonderful up there. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I mean,
he's the only Black girl up there. And I'm thinking,
completely. Do you know how many times I've been called Reginald Smith?
Like, it's twins, beyond me. Twinsies. Yeah. So that could, yeah, it can get annoying. And again, two completely different builds. Jackie is tall and slender, and like, you know, and I'm short. And
you know, Freddie Ballantyne?
Yes.
Come on, get out of here.
Come on.
We were just like, wait, really? What? You think? Oh, okay. Wow. All right.
Wow. That. And it's interesting that we all can relate to that.
I mean, Josh, you could be called worse. I mean, yeah. Sometimes I get called Morris Robinson.
Morris, what do you love and what do you hate? Well, or get on your nerves.
This conversation is one of the things that I love, because we all share the same commonality when it comes to certain things in this business. Yeah. Calvin mentioned that when there's a lot of us together, we had an incident last year, and I've only done Porgy's stage twice, and that was both of them with Reggie, actually. But Reggie, you might remember this moment. We were in Cincinnati, and they were telling me at the end of the opera that you're going to turn this way, and there's a light coming out the door. We want you to walk right to the light. And I said, walk in the light. And before I can get done, everybody in the room was like, beautiful light. Yeah. And it just turned into a whole, and then all the white people were like, what's going on here? What's going on? And we were just having a church moment. Like, it was just natural because of the versatility of what we all possess, having a commonality and coming from the same background for the most part. You know, gospel is part of it. R&B is part of it. Rap is part of it. So all it takes is for one person to say one or two things and the next person catches on immediately, and it turns into a moment in rehearsal. But that, to me, helps build team, it helps build unity, it helps us feel supported, because like you said, a lot of times we're the only one. So it's kind of cool to be around each other when we're there. So that versatility, I think, is really important. And I love that part of it. What do I hate about being a Black opera singer? Well, there are a few things, register spirit. One of the things is, as you just said, you know, I'm a big Black guy that sings bass. So I can sing a whole concert of Mussorgsky, which I've done before, Wolf, Schubert, Verdi, Mozart, whatever it is, no matter what case, everybody just assumes I can sing Porgy and Old Man River. And they always ask me. So I just take it away from them. In fact, I've gotten to the point now, I say, well, of course I sing Old Man River. And I'll do it just about every concert, because I know that's what they're waiting on. So I could bomb. Like, I could totally bomb a whole concert in front of white folks and sing Old Man River and win, you know? So I'd be like, that's all right. I might have messed this up, but wait till I see Old Man River. All y'all will be in here crying, so we do it. And the other thing, there are two more things. The other thing I hate is being the resident Black guy for everything racial, right? Like, I got enough stuff on my plate, right? So I don't need to solve all your racial issues right now, but they all... Well, Morris, what do you think about this? Yeah, I think they shouldn't have killed George Floyd. It was fucking murder. Like, what do you want me to say? You know, but it's, you know, is this statement right? We want to make sure that we don't make any mistakes. Well, you know, we're not going to correct it in one statement, because it wasn't ruined in one statement. It's going to take a process. So that's a lot of the burden that we all carry, because when you're the only person, they all come to you and say, you know, so that happens. And I'm sorry I used a profane word there, but that, you know, the other thing, the last thing, is I've been in Atlanta at the Woodruff Art Center. It's happened to me. It's happened to me in Houston at the Symphony. It happened to me in Houston at the Opera. It's happened to me at the Metropolitan Opera. It's happened to me a lot of times that, you know, I'll walk in with my colleagues, you know, being the only brother with my skull cap on, my backpack, walking in with the orchestra, and I've been stopped by security. I've been asked by an old lady where the bus is parked. You know, I've been told to change the light bulb in the bathroom. So those type of things just kind of irk me, because it's like, are we really there? Like, we're not only do we typecast on stage, but we typecast in society. Like, you know, I have to be the help, because it's impossible for you to believe that I'm actually on that stage. So those are my pet peeves. That's it.
Yes. And that also has happened to me, where I've walked into a lobby and they've been like, you know, they'll say, well, you need to get in this ticket line over here. And I'm like, I'm on the stage. And it happened. So it, you know,
there was a spill in the bathroom, ma'am. Can you clean it up?
Yeah. You know, like, that's not my job. Right. So it's amazing again. And I, Reggie, I'm gonna have you speak, but it's amazing that we've all kind of been through these same similar stories. Yeah. And we're
decades apart.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And ages. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Reggie, what are your comments?
Well, you know, I was going to say, I love the Black folk of Black folk, no matter where we are. And no matter what your background is, there's always some thread that connects us all. There's some similarity, whether it's, you know, being in the house before the streetlights come on, or the age-old debate about what you put on your grits, which should only be butter and salt and pepper and maybe wait some
minute.
Cheese.
Okay, wait a minute.
Done.
And now listen. Done. I have to go back.
Next There's nothing to say about it. Ain't nothing to say about it. That's it.
My mom is from Gary, Indiana in the Midwest, and so...
Doesn't count.
I'm gonna hang up. Right.
It's tasty. That's all I'm gonna say. However, I do prefer cheese, but it's just give it a try.
Wait, name one other breakfast. Name one other breakfast item that sugar goes with. It don't go with eggs. It don't go with sausage. It don't go with biscuits. So why are you putting it in your grits?
Listen, I grew up with the sugar though. I mean, I love the butter and the salt and pepper. I love it.
This is exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm about to mute myself right now. I'm done with this conversation.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. See how quickly we went from
the two J's, Jasmine and Joshua. Y'all can have this. I don't want to do it now. Look, nail one of y'all, okay?
Nail. They don't know what they're talking about.
We have to get back to what Reggie was saying.
Oh, no. This was exactly to my point that. It only takes one little thing and then poof, we're all there. I also love Black composers. Hello, shout out to all the people on my shirt.
Yes,
they're more down here, but you know, I'm trying to hide my fat. But I love that Black people can do anything. I mean, you look around and we do everything vocally, artistically, politically, academically, in terms of sport, we can do anything. And I love that. There's always some great inspiration. The things that drive me crazy, of course, I mean, I've been called Eric Owens, I've been called Morris Robinson. I mean, you name it, you know, it happens. Like I said, I wouldn't mind being called Morris Robinson if they gave me a Morris Robinson check. You can call me Reggie Robinson if you do that. But you know, one of the other things is, as you said, having to speak on behalf of your people. You know, they say, oh my God, that was so terrible. What do you all think of that? And then they all turn to look at you as if like they didn't, like you didn't know they weren't going to ask you that question anyway. Like I remember when the whole thing happened about Othello, blackface or not. And they're like, oh, what should companies do? And they all looked at me and I was like, I don't know. I don't run a company. I don't sing Othello. You know. But now the thing that has always made me so annoyed, and I'm sure all of you all have gotten this too. I can go and sing Italian, German, French, Spanish, Russian, whatever. And I come off stage and they say, what a wonderful concert. And I said, thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed the evening. Wow, you're so articulate. You're so well spoken.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What?
What did you expect otherwise?
Yeah, I have no idea. You know, and it happens with more frequency than it should and more than I would like to admit. And I don't know if it's because I'm just Black, if I'm a big Black man, and I'm wearing like a full tuxedo, you know, and I don't know what, you just saw me on stage do all of these things. I don't understand. I will tell you one funny story that's also in this vein of like, bless their hearts, as we would say. I was doing a recital and it was at this country club type thing. And this guy comes up to me. He goes, oh, do you know where the restrooms are? Now, mind you, I'm starting in the back of the room because I'm starting with the toreador. And I have them introduce me, and then I kind of walk through the room. So he comes up and he says, oh, do you know where the restrooms are? And I said, oh, yeah, I think they're around the corner. Did not thinking anything of it. And he goes, oh, could you get me a drink as well? And I said, oh, sorry, I, you know, the bartender's over there. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were working. I said, no, it's fine. And I said, do you know the singer for tonight? He goes, no, my wife drugged me here. And I said, yeah, I hear he's really terrible. Just, I heard him last time and it wasn't any good. And he was like, oh man. I said, yeah, you're probably gonna need that drink. And meanwhile, they said, now introducing Reginald Smith Jr. I said, hey, can you hold my drink for a second? He's like, yeah. Votre tos, Jeff. To see his face, it was like all the color like drained from his body. He was so embarrassed. And he like told his, he came up to me afterwards and was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you were the soloist. And I was like, no, it's fine. You know, I hope you enjoyed your drink, you know. But, you know,
I love that you kind of took the power, like, listen to like what I can do. Like, I know you think this about me, but you know, bam. I love that. And I love how you handled that. And I think that's hilarious.
Okay. It also goes to show how far we have to go to normalize us into the mindset of people that expect so little of us, you know? I hate to say that, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but the expectation level is so low that white folks are still surprised that we can speak articulately.
They're
surprised that we can sing in Italian, but we can always sing, so they can kind of make sense of that. But you know, you got to tag an Old Man River on there just to make sure you really are Black, because you please tell us that you're offended by singing something that we want to hear you sing. So it's a mindset that we have to change throughout the entire country, throughout every industry, this one included, that, you know, stop expecting the lowest from us, because, you know, we're high achievers too, and we're good at what we do, and we're professionals. And if we go to the same doggone university to you and take the same classes, why wouldn't we speak the same way? Why wouldn't our vocabulary be as extensive? Why wouldn't we have the same nice house that you have? Why couldn't we, you know, you could sit at the office when I was in corporate America and work right next to a guy that has the exact same title as you, and he'd be really surprised if you live in a neighborhood like his. Like, so it's just the mindset that we have to, it is systematic. It just takes time, you know, it takes time. So,
And Morris, I remember us having this conversation about like when I bought my house, and people were coming in to, you know, get everything ready. They would be so surprised when my husband and I would walk up and they'd be like,
yeah.
You could just see this like little shift in their perception, be like, they're Black? Oh,
are the owners here?
And sometimes I feel like we have to always like prove just to be in a normal space that we're okay to be here. And I think the objective and moral of all of this is that I think people other who are not Black just understand that we're not a monolith. We're not all the same people. We have the same dreams and desires and goals that you have. So just treat us with the same respect that you would anyone else. So there's also one more question before we have our pop quiz. And this is for Reggie and Morris. I know we're not gonna go back to the grits conversation. However, I know you guys can cook and I've seen the pictures. And theoretically, if we ever had a cookout, which I think we should.
I'm on the grill, done deal. But
what would be your go-to, like what would you bring?
I'm on the grill, I'm cooking meat. So
okay.
I'm bringing ribs, I'm bringing chicken, I'm bringing steak, I'm bringing lobster tails, I'm bringing shrimp. I'm the meat guy, I'm bringing all the meat. And you know, I'm the elder statesman here, so I've had a longer career than most of you guys. I'm gonna buy all the meat, I'm gonna be on the grill. I need a glass of cognac and a bottle of cognac and the grill. That's me.
Okay, nice. Okay, Reggie.
And he also needs those open toe uncle sandals, you know, the brown ones that go across that he'll wear with white socks.
And a sweat towel. And a sweat towel.
And a sweat towel.
That's it. I did.
with a radio, right?
Right, in a radio. Gotta have my music.
That's it. Look, I'll fill in the sides then. I'll bring a banana pudding. I'll bring some macaroni and cheese. We can get some baked beans in there. And I like to put a little, you know, that ground beef in mine. You know, I got that little sweetener.
Thank you, sir.
You know, we got a whole lot of sides and things we can bring. Now, I'm not making potato salad. Get somebody's auntie to do that. I'm not going to be the one responsible.
I make my grandmother's potato salad. Okay, I can hook you up.
So we'll put Josh in charge of that. Because if people don't like it, I don't want y'all to say Reggie brought.
Everybody on here know that you get judged by potato salad. Not everybody can make potato salad. So that's the thing I'll learn.
Listen, I've been making potato salad with both of my grandmothers all my life.
Where you from?
Well, I'm originally from New York, but both of my
you're not eating no potato salad, no.
My grandmother is from North Carolina, and my other grandmother is from South Carolina.
Okay.
Reggie.
So listen, all right?
I think you should make this a real thing, okay? I've recently kind of gone more plant-based and vegan and vegetarian, so as far as the meat things, I can maybe fill in some things, but yes, we should make this a real thing. Anyway,
I think we should. All right.
So,
okay, you and Miss Trevine coming through with this. With this alkaline. Now look, if don't nobody eat none of y'all alkaline greens, don't get mad. Don't nobody want them alkaline collards.
Listen, there's actually a really good
vegan hot dog.
That's like a vegan.
Tofu hot dogs.
Vegan soul food though.
No,
I ain't putting that on my grill.
Food, and I've actually done something that's been really good.
I ain't putting that stuff on my grill. You ain't gonna tell me about me. Need your own grill.
So you guys, just so I don't want to lose any time, I think it's time for our pop quiz.
All right.
So everybody is ready. I have a 5 questions for you guys.
Woo.
Multiple choice. Is everybody ready?
Oh, wait, we got to write this down, right? All right, yeah, I'm ready. Let's get it.
Okay, so this is just on how well you know your history. I did not go through all these questions, but we'll see. All right. So, this singer made her Metropolitan Opera debut as Gilda in Rigoletto in 1956. And she was the first African-American to sing at La Scala and the San Francisco Opera. Is it A, Riri Grist, B, Mattie Wilder Dobbs, or C, Leontine Price? Who has A?
Which is Riri Grist?
Yeah. A is Riri Grist. Nobody? Okay, B, Mattie Wilder Dobbs. Yes. Oh my gosh, yes. Good job, you guys. Yes. All right. Question number 2. This opera singer's son, okay? This opera singer's son is known to be an American jazz folk vocalist.
Easy.
Okay. He has received several Grammy Awards for recordings with Herbie Hancock and Chick Corea. It was pretty easy. I have A, George Shirley, B, William Warfeld, or C, Robert McFerrin. Okay. All right.
We're all black men. You know we know.
Come on, you got to
know. Okay.
You'd be better off asking football questions to these guys, but you got it.
Hold on. I'll get all those. Huge football fan.
Watch it.
All right. Here's my 3rd.
Try harder.
This is another Grammy Award winning artist. This singer went to Howard University, singing notable roles from Wagner, Stravinsky, and Strauss. Is it A, Leontine Price, B, Roberta Alexander, or C, Jesse Norman?
That's tough, because it could be 2 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
But I know who it is.
Are you guys ready? Who had A? Anybody have B?
B is Miss Norman, correct?
No, that was C.
Roberta. Roberta Alexander was me.
Okay.
Yeah, I have Jesse Norma.
Yes.
Jesse Norma. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Smart.
Lynn led Team Price go to Russ. Where else is she?
It wasn't Howard.
Lynn Team Price.
Lynn Team Price went to, are you asking where she went to school?
Yeah, was it Russ?
She went to Wilberforce.
I thought she was to Howard. She went to Wilberforce. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, Russ was the college she recorded with. Anyway.
All right. This singer was most well known for singing the voice of Dorothy Dandridge in the 1959 film for Porgy and Bess. She also had a notable career in Baroque music. Is it A, Adele Addison, B, Camilla Williams, or C, Gloria Davey?
I think I know.
What are the answers again?
A, Adele Addison. Sorry. B, Camilla Williams. Or C, Gloria Davey.
I think I got it.
Okay, do anybody have A?
I got Camilla.
People have B?
Yeah, B.
Anybody have C? It is actually A, Adele.
That's Addison. What I thought. I knew it was A. I knew it was her. Camilla didn't do a lot of Baroque music.
Yeah.
Gloria Davey was known for Aida's. Dang it, I should have used my actual
missed one. Well, what's the score? Everybody missed one? Did everybody miss one? Anybody not miss any?
No, I missed one.
We all missed that one, I think.
Yeah, okay. All right. Here's the last question. Soprano turned soprano later in her career, had an extensive career, most notably singing the works of Verdi and Donizetti. She later in life made her Broadway debut singing the role of Nettie Fowler in the Tony Award winning revival of Carousel in 1994. Is it A, Grace Bunbury, B, Denise Graves, C, Shirley Verrett? All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. Anybody have A? Anybody have B?
I'm just gonna put.
I got Shirley.
C. Yes, it was C. Shirley Verrett. Yes.
You won, bro.
So basically, all of you guys won the game. You guys know your Black history. There's much, much, much more that we can go into. But yeah, this is basically it. Thank you guys for joining me. I hope this was
thank fun. You, Jasmine.
And yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm gonna come back on. But I had a good time. So yeah.
Yeah, we should do a whole game of this Black opera trivia.
Yeah.
I think we should.
It'd be fun.
And then we should have a cookout.
Yes.
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 How about that?
Actually, you know, the first thing we're going to play is
about to warm up. Man,
we let you go.
I already got the Black cookout mixtape. We're ready.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, we really actually should do this because the weather's nice now. We'll just
it's about
do
to get nice, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll fly back in for it. Square, bitch. I'm talking square to you, baby. She gets a pass. It's fine. We love
to. I say, Tina Marie.
We love Tina Marie. Tina Marie
gets a pass.
We love Tina Marie. Rick
James, you know, it worked out.
Fire and Desire.
Fire and Desire. Oh, that's a song.
Oh, yeah.
I got to roll out, guys. I got a meeting with Meredith and Jessica right this moment. So yes. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I don't think I met you before, man. Have we met?
Maybe briefly, but I'm Calvin. Right. It's nice to meet
I'm
you.
I'm Morris, man. Nice to meet you. Rest of y'all. Joshua, are you going to do that concert with me, man? Unity concert?
Yeah, man. I hope so. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So it's me, you, Jasmine, and Reggie. Are you around, Calvin?
I'm there, yeah.
Are you going to do the concert or you don't know about it yet?
I don't know. I mean, I signed up.
Is that the one on the 8th? Up, you're good.
What's that? Okay, then, yeah.
What's that?
Is that the one on the 8th?
No, it's in November 20. April 24th or something like that.
Oh, it's not May 8th.
Oh,
yeah.
It's not.
Oh, did it move to 8th? It moved to the 8th. Okay.
Yeah, oh, dang, that, we have a Carmen performance that night.
Oh, we do?
All right. I'm about to meet with him right now. We're going to figure it all out. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Love and peace to you guys. Be safe and healthy.
All right.
You too.
Bye. You too.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.